Welcome to Mount Olive First Pentecostal Holiness Church. Thank you for connecting with us. In just a moment, Pastor Jeff will be sharing an uplifting and encouraging message that we pray will inspire you in your walk with God. Our desire at MOF PHC is for you and your family to find hope in Jesus Christ so that He will transform your life. Thanks again for connecting with us. Please contact us if we can help you discover God's purpose for your life. Enjoy the message.
Well, I just want to take a few minutes here and share with you something that I feel like God has put on my heart for this service this morning. And it's in relation to the series I've been preaching to you over the last few weeks. As we see the day approaching, I told you that I felt like God had impressed those words on me from the scriptures, those six words that we find in Hebrews 10:25. And I felt like the Lord was saying that from that passage, as we see the day approaching, there were some things that we as God's people need to make sure that we are prepared to do as we see the day approaching, talking about the day when Jesus is going to return. And there's some things that God has commanded us to do. He expects us to do as we see that day approaching. In Hebrews 10:25, it says here, "Let us not give up meeting together," talking about having church. Church is so vital to us, especially as we see the day coming. He says, "Let us not give up in meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Now, over the last few weeks, we've highlighted some things that we have sensed like God was saying to us to stay encouraged, to stay ready, to stay bold. And last Sunday, I appreciate Brother Tony Moore sharing a powerful word as we see the day approaching. What do you have in your hand that you can use to be a blessing to someone else? And I appreciate that word that he shared. Well, today I want us just to pick up right there at Hebrews 10:25 and back up just one verse prior to verse 25 in verse 24, when it says here, in Hebrews 10:24, let us consider, now as we see the day approaching, we know Jesus is coming back, and as we see the day approaching, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. To love and good works. And so as this morning, as we see the day approaching, may God stir us and help us to stir up love in one another. We live in a world right now that's stirring up a lot of stuff, but it's not love. There's a lot of things being stirred up in the world that we live in right now. Think about it. Hate is being stirred up. Division is being stirred up. Chaos is being stirred up. Confusion is being stirred up. So as the church sees the day approaching, we must stir up love. When we see a world that is stirring up all kinds of mess, the devil at work stirring up all kinds of mess, the church needs to arise up in this last day, and we need to stir up love. God's people should be motivating one another to carry out acts of love to a world whose love has grown cold. Jesus even said that in the last days, the love of most will grow cold. And wouldn't you say today that the love of most has grown cold? I mean, just look at what's going on in the world today. I mean, look what happened in Georgia last week in that high school. And look at all the stuff that's going on in the culture around us right now. Wouldn't you say that the love of most is growing cold? It's growing cold. And God's people, listen to me, please, this morning. We need to guard against our love growing cold. And the way we do that is we stir up one another to love. Stir up one another to love. I was praying last night, Lord, stir up Mount Olive First PH Church to love. Stir up one another to love. But what exactly is love? People use that word so flippantly now, the word I love. I mean, I love this, I love that. I hear people say, well, I love my house. I love my family. I love my husband. I love my wife. I love my church. I love my car. I love my dog. You've never heard me say that. Yes, I love Krispy Kreme. Hallelujah. In fact, we went to the movies yesterday to see the movie The Forge. I mean, you've seen the movie The Forge. If you have not seen it, you need to make it a priority to go see it. Our family went yesterday, and my wife stepped to the restroom, and I was standing there against the wall waiting for her. And I heard somebody say, "I love your hair." And I was thinking, I know they weren't talking to me. And it was another lady there at the counter talking to another lady. But anyway, I was just hoping. But we use that word, I love, but the Bible defines love. The Bible says that God is love, that God is love. And then if you were to read in 1 Corinthians and you want to know what love is, listen to this. This is what love is. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Listen, love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. Love is not proud. Love is not rude. Love is not self-seeking. Love is not easily angered. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And if you keep reading into the next verse, love never fails. As we see the day approaching, we need to stir up one another to love. Stir up one another to love. What kind of love? Well, I would say to you first that we need to stir up a sacrificial love. God's love is a sacrificial love. So much so that I didn't have time to load it, but I was looking late last night at another verse in Ephesians, and it says that you're to walk in the way of love as Christ did, because he was a sacrifice to God. He was our sacrifice. It was a sacrificial love. Jesus came to us to demonstrate to us his sacrificial love when he died on the cross. Hallelujah. And as followers of Jesus Christ, we need to stir up this sacrificial love, because sacrificial love is powerful. Sacrificial love is the kind of love that covers a multitude of sin. It's a love that overcomes hatred. It's a love that overcomes prejudice. It's a love that gives hope to the hopeless. It's a love that will break down walls. It's a love that will build bridges. It is a love that will speak truth when truth needs to be spoken. It's a love that will change a heart. It's a love that will change a person. We need to stir up one another to this sacrificial love. As we see the day approaching, we need to stir up this sacrificial love so it can reflect Jesus Christ to a lost world. Jesus said, listen, this is a command in John 13, 34 through 35. Listen to what he says. Jesus said, "A new command I give you, love one another." Look to your neighbor right now and say, "Love one another." "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know you're my disciples, if you love one another." Three times in just a little paragraph, he says, "I want you, you must love one another, love one another, love one another. And by this, all men will know you're my followers, my disciples, if you love one another." How is this, as we see the day approaching, how is this world going to know that we're Christians? It's not going to know we're Christians just because we pulled up in the parking lot at Mount Olive this morning. It's not going to know we're Christians because we're walking around toting a Bible somewhere. The way that the world's going to know that we're Christians is because of our love for one another. That's how Jesus said they'll know. The world will know you're Christians because we love one another. And Jesus, listen to me. Man, we need praise and worship, the preaching of the word, prayer time. All those things are so vital to what God is doing through the ministry. But God, more than anything, wants his church to be a loving church. A loving church, loving one another. Everything we do in our life, we need to do it in love. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, says, do everything in love. How many of you like memorizing scripture? You want to, man, I want to memorize some scripture. Well, here's a good one right here. Verse 14, do everything in love. To be sure you can memorize that one. Do everything in love. Not some things, but everything. Say everything. Do everything in love. Every work, every word, every attitude, every action, every reaction, do it in love. In fact, when Paul was speaking here, he says, listen, stand firm in the faith and guard yourself and do everything in love. Do everything in love. How many of you know this morning, to be able to do everything in love, you cannot do it in your own strength. You cannot do it in your own strength. This kind of sacrificial love must come from being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's why I love Romans chapter 5, because it says there that, listen, God has poured out his love. God's love has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The only way you can walk in this sacrificial love is for God to pour it out on you by his Holy Spirit. So as we see today approaching, how do we stir up this love? We stir it up by asking God to pour it out by his Holy Spirit. We need to ask the Holy Spirit this morning to pour out his love into our hearts. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to do everything in love. When you feel like your love is growing cold, and if you don't guard against it, it will start to grow cold. You need to get somewhere and you need to ask the Holy Spirit to baptize you a fresh feeling of the Holy Spirit, of the love of God, so you can express that love to other people. I prayed, Lord, help us at this church, starting with me, stir up a sacrificial love in me. Holy Spirit, don't allow my love to grow cold. I want my love to be on fire for the Lord. I want that love to be manifested into the people around me. I want to be the one to walk in the room and people see Jesus. Amen. I don't want to be the person that walks in the room, everybody's like, oh Lord. I want to be that person that expresses God's love. Not express his hate, not express his judgment, not express his fault finding. I want to be that person that is expressing God's sacrificial love that's been demonstrated to me so it can flow through me into other people. Don't you want to be that? Don't you want to be the one to walk in a room expressing the love of God? That God's love has been demonstrated to you and now it's working in you and through you to other people? And the Holy Spirit is the only one that can do it. God pours out his love by his Holy Spirit so we can show that love to the world around us. They'll know you're my disciples because of your love for one another. This past Wednesday, late in the evening, right before we were getting ready to come back to church Wednesday night for the powerful service that I was able to watch online, I ended up being in the emergency room hospital at Kenansville with my mom, who was, man, she needed a touch from the Lord, still does. And we were there in the emergency room, and it was about maybe going on 6 o'clock. And on a Wednesday, the emergency room is full of people. And I have one mission on my mind. I just want to get my mama in there and get some attention to her so we can find out what's going on and she can get some help. And we're sitting there and the place is full. She's very confused, very disoriented. I have her in a wheelchair. I'm sitting in the chair. There's a gentleman by the name of Nathaniel sitting beside me, and there's another man named Stephen sitting beside him. And Stephen is talking 100 mile an hour. And he is talking some crazy mess. I mean, he was just talking and talking and talking. And finally, they called his name back to go get his blood pressure checked. And when he got up, Mr. Nathaniel beside me says, Lord, thank you. And I leaned over to him. I said, man, is he with you? He said, no, he's just talking to himself. And he was. I mean, he was talking some crazy mess. I'm just telling you, if you're watching online and you just tuned in, I'm talking about somebody else, not me. I'm just giving you a play-by-play. His name was Stephen. He was a white guy. He had on an NBA jersey that was looked like it was for Shaquille O'Neal, went down about here so you couldn't see his shorts that he had on. He had on a pair of high-top sneakers with a ball cap. He had tattoos on his face, tattoos on his neck. His teeth were missing in the front. And son, he was the highlight of the emergency room. And he was talking, I'm a player. He was calling every nurse that walked by, hey, Britney Spears. And I'm thinking, man, what? And then he would go off on another world and say, my girlfriend's got a beautiful tomatoes in her garden. He was just all over the place talking. I mean, I could keep going. He said he was the greatest shortstop that ever played at James Keenan High School and basketball player. He said they call him Stephon Curry. In fact, he just went to the park in Warsaw a couple of weeks ago, according to Stephen. He made 23 field goals in a row, and he won a basketball, and he traded it in for hot dogs at the store. I'm going somewhere here. He got up and went outside, smoked a cigarette or two or three or four or five, still had his blood pressure cuff on. And he went outside and smoked, and I leaned over there to Nathaniel. And I said, Nathaniel, you see that man? God loves him just as much as he loves you and just as much as he loves me or just as much as he loves anybody in this room. And Mr. Nathaniel said, you're right about that. God loves him. God loves him. And I just felt a deep compassion come over my heart for Stephen. Because people were laughing at him and making fun of him. He was aggravating me because I was trying to help my mama and she didn't need no more confusion. He came back in from outside and he told everybody in there, you know what? I'm doing a whole lot better. My blood pressure's good. A couple of cigarettes made everything better. I think I'm going to head out. But before I head out, can you give me something to eat before I leave? They all knew him there at the hospital. I mean, he's a regular, like Otis on Andy Griffin, I think. And they brought him out a box of food, and they brought him out something to drink. And out of all the chairs in the emergency room, he came and sat right in front of me and Mama. And he offered me some of his sandwich, and he offered me some of his drink. I wasn't sure he was talking to me, but I figured that out. And then he started talking. He says, I'm going to get out of here, and I'm going to be better. I'm going to be better because when I get out of here, a cold beer is going to fix it all for me. And I said, Stephen, a cold beer is not going to fix anything for you. I said, Jesus can fix it because he did it for me. I've been right where you are. I know what you're talking about. I know thinking that something, a bottle, a beer, or whatever can fix it, but Jesus can fix it. And he looked right at me, and it was like just for a minute he had clarity. And he says, you're right. You are right. That's why I'm going to the Baptist church when I leave here. But you know what? God loves that man. And God, I pray, God, I mean, I'm serious. He is on my heart. I want to find him. Because God will run after you. God will pursue you. God will try to get your attention. And he loves that man that was in that hospital just like he loves each and every one of us in this room. And we need to have that kind of love to fill us so we can reach out and share Jesus with Nathaniels and with Stephens and with whosoever. God, help us to stir us up, Lord. Stir us up, Lord. Because I'm going to tell you, the natural reaction is to be aggravated, to move away from him, to get away from him, not to speak to him. I mean, the natural thing is to fault find, to judge. He already told me his house is out power. He don't have any lights there, but he's smoking. He's got a cell phone. You can say, well, how's all that? I don't know. I can't help all that. All I know is Jesus loves him. Jesus loves him. He has a soul just like we have a soul, and the Lord loves him and wants to save him. And the Lord can figure all that other stuff out. All I need to do is just show the man love and let him know, hey, God can turn you around, son. God help us to walk in that love. And listen, friend, it needs to be a sincere love, and I'm moving as quick as I can, but this love can't, listen, you can't pretend to have this love. I'm going to tell you right now, somebody like Stephen, if you walk up there with your little buttery smile and you're going to put on a pretend love to him, somebody like him is going to pick up on it in a minute. He'll spot a phony fake love a mile away. You can't pretend to have this love. God has to put it in you. God has to put it right deep down inside of everyone. It's by His Holy Spirit. You can't work it up. You can't work it up. Listen, you can't sit in the parking lot tomorrow morning before you go into work and say, Lord, help me love them people. Help me love them people. Because by lunchtime, you'll be lit somebody up. Now, why are y'all looking at one another? You need to ask the Lord, stir me up with love and help me, God. I don't want some of you to go in tomorrow, go wherever, and you're trying to work it up, and before it's over with, you're stirring up drama, you're stirring up aggravation. God, help us to walk in sincere love. Can you imagine how powerful our witness would be if we walked in sincere love, the love that only God can put upon our hearts, not faking it, not trying to work it up? Walking in sincere love. If we walk in sincere love, we won't walk around with the chip on our shoulder. We won't walk around with a bad attitude. We won't walk around self-centered where it's all about me. Sincere love, you can't pretend to have it. You can't work it up, and it can't be shallow. The Bible says that we're to have a deep love. And some of you are struggling this morning having a deep love because you're still fuming on the inside because of what somebody's done against you recently or in the past. I've said this before. I have this term now I use when I counsel somebody that is called, you know what, instead of you being hysterical, you're gone historical. People I meet with have gone historical. What do you mean by that? They live in the past. They live in that place where somebody has hurt them or hurt their family or said something against them or done something, and they're living in the history of that. They're living in the past. They've gone historical. And they're still holding on to grudges. They're still holding on to resentment. They're still looking for a way to pay somebody back. And if that's you this morning, you're historical. And my encouragement to you would be get along with the Lord and ask the Lord to put a burning love of sincere love in your heart, not a heart that burns with resentment and anger and vengeance and bitterness. Ask God to deliver you from that because that's pure poison for your life. Ask the Lord to deliver you. Give me a sincere love for these people, God. A heart that will burn for Jesus Christ. It needs to be a sincere love, and it needs to also be a supportive love that we stir up one another to. Jesus gave the greatest example of this supportive love in Matthew 25. He says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." This is what supportive love looks like. We see it expressed through the Good Samaritan, who saw a man, a poor man, that had been attacked and robbed and left for dead. But he refused to bypass this man. He supported him, and he did that by a response. Love, listen to me, love is action. Love is a verb. Love is action. There's going to be a response to it. He saw the person in need, and he did something to help. I mean, we see people all around us every day that are needing God to help them, and God is saying, how about you help them? He didn't look the other way. But a lot of times we look the other way. This man got right in the middle of his mess and helped him. And that's what supportive love will do. Supportive love will look for people who need help. Supportive love will meet needs. Supportive love will get right in the middle of somebody's mess and love them through it. Supportive love is helping somebody and not expecting anything back in return. Supportive love shows others acts of compassion, acts of mercy, acts of kindness. Hey, here we go. Supportive love will show others patience. Supportive love will show others forgiveness. God, help us and stir us up to a supportive love for one another. Pastor Kevin, if you guys want to go ahead and come and get ready. As we see the day approaching, we need to ask God to stir up a supportive love, but also a supreme love. God's love is supreme. God's love is supreme. God's word tells us, remain in faith, hope, and love, and love is the greatest. God's love is supreme over everything. In fact, listen to this. God tells us in the word that his love is supreme over everything. You can have all the spiritual gifts. You can speak in tongues. You can talk in tongues. And Paul encourages you to do so, but he says you can speak in tongues. You can have word of knowledge. You can have the gift of prophecy. You can serve. You can sing. You can preach. You can do whatever. But all that is nothing if you don't have love. Do you get what I'm saying? What God's word is? You can have all the spiritual gifts, but God's love is supreme. God's love is supreme. You can run and shout and dance and jump up and praise, and I'm all for that. You need to, but don't do that right there and go to work tomorrow and light everybody up and aggravate everybody and stir up drama and stir up division and stir up chaos. Don't tell me, oh, I'm spirit-filled, and you're out there stirring up mess. Stir up love. Stir up love. Stir up love. A love for all people, a love for the unlovable, even a love for our enemies. A love for those that have injured you. A love for those that have treated you like trash. A love for those that irritate you. Stir up love, because God's supreme love can heal your heart. God's supreme love can heal your hurt. It can heal your brokenness. It can heal your bitterness. Only God's love can do that. God's love can heal your marriage issue, your family issue, your friend issue. It's God's supreme love that can fix all that. But it all starts by receiving that love. As we see the day approaching, we need more than ever for God to pour out his supreme love over our hearts so we can love people. The love that we have in our lives should be an overflow of what Jesus is, the relationship that we have with Jesus. You want to know how much of the Lord you have in your life? Check your love level. If your love level's grown cold and empty, you might want to get along with the Lord and ask for some fresh filling of the Lord in your life. Fresh Holy Spirit, move. God, I can stir up love because Jesus loves me. Come on, friend. Aren't you thankful that Jesus loves you this morning? You can stir up love because you're in love with Jesus. He loves you. And the greatest act of supreme love ever was the act of what he did on the cross at Calvary for us. Are you thankful this morning for the cross and what Jesus did? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And you may, listen, you may be like me. 2002, when I felt like because of some failures and some flaws and some mistakes and some sins and some all kinds of past and baggage that was in my life, you may have walked in this morning, and because you feel that way, you may feel unlovable because of all those things in your life. That's how you may feel this morning. But I want to just remind you that God loves you with a supreme love. He loves you with an everlasting love. It's a love that is so undeserving. And I know that he loves me because he sent his son Jesus to die for me. The Bible says in Romans 5:8 that God demonstrates his own love for us, that in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The only way, listen church, the only way we can stir up love is to be sure that we have received God's supreme love in our own hearts through faith in Jesus Christ. Can I say this to you? God's supreme love is real. God's supreme love is real. And that love I mentioned to you that chases after Stephen is chasing after you this morning. It's running after you. It's pursuing after you. The love, God's supreme love, is trying to get your attention. And some of you have rejected God's supreme love. And because you have rejected him, that, listen, you, I'm telling you, friend, you are sealing your doom when you reject it. You are sealing, listen, you're going to miss heaven because you have rejected God's supreme love. And God in his mercy today is reaching out to you, and one more time, and just running after you, pursuing after you with his love. With his love. Instead of rejecting God's love, you need to respond to God's love. How do you respond to God's love? Let me tell you how you respond to God's love. You repent of your sins. You repent of your sins and you ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins, and then you receive Jesus Christ to be your Lord and to be your Savior. Repent of your sins. Turn from that. Turn from that. Turn to the Lord and receive him to be your Lord and your Savior. That's how you respond to God's love, his supreme love. And I pray, my prayer, if there's anybody here this morning that needs to make that decision today to respond by receiving Christ, you would do it now. I want every head bowed, every eye closed, please. Every Christian praying right now, please. Please pray. If you're here this morning and you've been reminded that God's love is real. God's love is real. His supreme love is real. And his love is pursuing me. It's running after me. It's trying to get my attention. And I have rejected this love too many times. And the Lord is speaking to me today about stopping now and responding by repenting of my sins and receiving Jesus Christ to be my Lord and to be my Savior. And I'm ready to do that right now. I want to seal the deal. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven and be with you, Jesus, forever. And so I know the only way I can do that is through you, Jesus. If you're here this morning and you're not sure, you're not certain that heaven is in your future, but you're ready right now to respond to God's love, and you're ready to turn from your sins, and you're ready to receive Jesus Christ, and you want me to pray for you. Nobody looking around at this moment. Nobody looking around. But if that's you and you want me to pray for you because you're concerned about your soul right here, right now, lift your hand and say, that's me. Pray for me, preacher. God bless you, sir. Is there anybody else? Would you please obey the Lord? Holy Spirit, have your way. Have your way. Is there anybody else? Would you obey the Lord? I'm here this morning and I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I want to make that decision. I want to turn my life to Christ right now. Anybody else? Anybody else? I just encourage anyone who did or raised their hand or didn't, that you would just right there where you are, just pray, Lord, I admit to you I'm a sinner. I need to be saved from my sins. And I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth, Jesus, that you are Lord. You died on that cross. You shed your blood so my sins could be forgiven and I could have new life in you. I could be a new person, new creation, born again. And right now, I surrender everything to you, to follow you and live for you, to walk in your love, to express your love to the world around me. I receive Christ to be my Savior and Lord in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I pray that. Make that your prayer. Make that your prayer. I receive him now into my life in Jesus' name. I want everybody to stand with me, please. Everybody to stand. I want to pray over you. I want to pray over you. I want the Lord to do something in our hearts this morning. Stir us up to love one another. Stir us up to love. Stir me to love the people around me in this community. Stir me to love my family, lost people, struggling people. Help me to love people like Stephen. Can we pray right now that the Holy Spirit would fill every one of us? Can you lift your hands up to the Lord and just ask God to pour out His love by His Holy Spirit? We pray your word right now out of Romans 5, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you would pour out your love, your supreme love, your supportive love, your sincere love, your sacrificial love. Pour it into my heart. Pour it into the heart of this church. Every person, every brother, every sister. Do it by your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you would fill every one of us afresh right now, that we would have the fruit of the Spirit. And part of that fruit is love, God. Love, love. Lord, stir us up to love. Stir us up, Lord, to love all people. God, help us to love our brothers, to love our sisters, to love our families, to love our friends, to love our community, God. Help us, Lord. Help us, God. May this church be known to be a loving church. Holy Spirit, I pray it right now over every life here, over every life here. Can we sing this song?